بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أيوان، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We hope everyone is well, inshallah. And I say Jazakallah khairan to everyone who participates in these tafsir sessions. I really, from the bottom of my heart, I feel that this is the most precious moments of Ramadan for myself to study the Quran. And I feel like this is what Allah Ta'ala wanted us to do in this month. And so I make dua that, you know, from our listening and our studying of this book, Allah Ta'ala give us everything that we need in this life and grant us Jannah Firdaus in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So inshallah, we'll continue from where we left off yesterday about this story about Nuh alayhi salam. And we saw how beautiful was the response of Nuh alayhi salam to each of their points. And you saw how well and how focused he was when he addressed each and every issue that they brought up, about six or so. And by him going backwards, focusing on the bigger issues, then working down to the smaller ones. And so he's able to nullify anything that they tried to speak against him. At the same time, you find that he highlighted one of the most crucial things that they said, the most sensitive issues, is that when they called Badi al-Ra'i, they called his followers brainless, right? People that had no opinion or that they did things without thinking. And so he highlighted it at the end. And this is such a beautiful debate tactic. You know, if we're talking about the Quran as a whole, the Quran has so many sciences, so many lessons in it. It's not just a book about, you know, just about Islam, right? It's a book that is speaking about biology, about science and mathematics. It talks about physics, astrophysics, right? Quantum physics, even certain places you could argue. Talks about, you know, black holes, it talks about this and that, it talks about construction, it talks about farming and sailing, and so many other fields that the Quran discusses about, philosophy, psychology, you know, the human ethics, so many issues the Quran delves on. One of the major issues is about debates. You can say that the way the Quran teaches you how to debate is so beautiful. It makes sure, you know, Nuh alayhi salam at the end, he made sure to focus on a topic which they could not respond to. Because like we spoke about a little bit at the end yesterday, if I call you a racist and I explain how you're a racist, it's very hard for you to get the audience's attention afterwards. No one's going to believe anything you say because of the fact that your moral character got affected right there, you know? So this is one thing we want to know. So mashallah, he gives such an amazing response to the people. We were waiting for their response. What is their reply? And we saw yesterday, قَالُوا يَا نُوحَ قَدَ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. They said, oh no, you debated with us too much. Too much, it's too much. We can't do this anymore. You're fighting us, you're arguing with us, you're challenging us. You know, as if Nuh alayhi salam was the one who challenged them. Okay, Nuh alayhi salam came with a message, a warning. They're the ones who started the debate. They're the ones who started the fight. And so this is what happens when people offend Muslim scholars or ulama. You know, a lot of the things that we find in our deen is that the scholars are actually responding to people who ended up addressing them in harsh ways or rude ways, or created such an issue in the community that the scholars were forced to respond. Okay, so when the scholar is forced to respond, you're going to see such a beautiful academic answer that no one will have any jawab, any response to. So they argue with Nuh alayhi salam, and then they go say, "Nuh, you're arguing too much. Come on, relax." And this is what we find too, unfortunately. It's like when the scholar writes that academic 500-page paper about how calculations is definitely wrong, people are like, oh my God, why is he doing this? You know, it's not like we started the fight in the first place, you know? There was someone else who brought it up, so then we responded to it, you know? So you have to remember, the deen is very deep. If you want to speak to a scholar about issues, the issues can get very lengthy, okay? So they say, oh no, you argued with us, too much arguing. فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا. Bring us what you threaten us with, what you promised us. إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. You're speaking the truth. Okay? So they don't have any response. They don't, they're so upset they can't respond. So they say, you know what? There's a punishment. Where's the punishment? Okay? This is exactly what the Quraysh were doing. They could not respond to the Quran. And so they started to talk about these other issues. And at the end, they just say, can you bring down the punishment already? Where is this punishment? So they can't fight anymore academically or intellectually. So they just resort to threats and, you know, pushing something, which again, Nuh alayhi salam makes it very clear that I don't have any power over. I don't have any power over. قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ إِنْ شَاءَ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Nuh alayhi salam says, look, I've already told you about the fact that I'm not an angel. I told you that I don't have any of the treasures of Allah. This is not something I have power over. He says, it is only Allah who can bring it upon you. if he wills, not me. If Allah wants it, it's going to happen. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. But keep note, take note, that you will not be able to escape if Allah Ta'ala brings down the punishment. He makes it clear to his people that it's not up to me, it's up to Allah. And if it happens, you're not getting out of here. وَلَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ نُصْحِي إِنْ أَرَدْتُ أَنْصَحَ لَكُمْ إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُغْوِيَكُمْ وَرَبُّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He goes and says very beautifully to them, look, my advice, these long hours, these 950 years, this day and night, is going to your houses, going to your public spaces, giving you da'wah, my advice will not benefit you, even though I wish you the best. He says, even though I want the best for you, and even though I'm trying my best to get this word across, if you don't accept it and you don't do it, there's no sheikh in the world, there's no alim in the world, there's no nabi in the world that can save you. In kana Allah yuridu wa yughwiyakum, if Allah Ta'ala willed already for you to go astray, if Allah Ta'ala already wanted you to go off, or he just let you go off, huwa rabbukum, he is your Lord, wa ilayhi turja'un, you'll return to him. He says, look, I have to try my best, my utmost best, but I don't know who Allah Ta'ala has written guidance for, and I don't know who Allah has written that they'll be led astray or be taken astray. So I have to do my best and give that da'wah. But if it's a case where Allah Ta'ala has decided that this person will not be guided, there was literally nothing I could have done. He is your Lord, and you shall be made to return to him. He's giving them that reminder, that push, that if at the end, if Allah Ta'ala had something else, intended something else, I have nothing to say. He's pushing them to think about it, that you can save yourself right now. You can become a Muslim. You can accept the kalima. You can pray your five times. You can fast. You have total control. You can do what you want. Take advantage and take control of your life. Steer your life in the right direction. Move yourself in the right direction. He's telling them. And he's telling them in such a beautiful way, look, I want the best for you. But if you don't want the best for yourself, what can I do? And this is a reminder to the family members that deal with people that have addictions or have, you know, very bad tendencies or haram actions in their household. You want the utmost best for your kids. You want the utmost best for your cousins and family members and brothers and sisters. But look, if you want the best for them, but they don't want the best for themselves, there's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can do. So Nuh alayhi salam makes it very clear to them, if the punishment of Allah comes, there's nothing else I can do for you. What do you think is going to happen next? We're all thinking about the punishment now. Definitely the punishment is going to come. And definitely going to talk about the flood. Am yaqulu naftara. The Quran is very beautiful. It goes and says, or do they say he has made it up? Okay? So immediately, we're taken aback. When you're reading the Quran, and this is what happens. This is why we need to study the Quran with the teacher and understand it from the lens of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? That's what we always talk about. We need to understand the Quran from a greater way. You might have thought this line was talking about Nuh alayhi salam. Or do they say he has made this up? You know, the people of Nuh are saying to Nuh alayhi salam that maybe Nuh alayhi salam made this up. Okay? But the real question is, who's they? Am yaqulu naftara. Okay? So what happens is, sometimes when you're reading a book, the narrator will start speaking to the reader directly. Okay? Like he's writing a story and he's talking about David. David is going to the park. And, you know, David is walking his dog or whatever, you know, da-da-da-da, right? And then at the end, you know, the narrator starts to point at the reader and say, what do you think is going to happen next, right? So this is Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shifting us away from the story and moving us towards the reader, okay? If you and I are interested in the story, who else is listening to the story right now? It is the Quraysh, okay? So Allah ta'ala took them out of the story and said, are they still saying that he made it up? Okay? If you and I are interested in the story, Quraysh are listening to the story, not because of the story being so interesting, but because of the fact that the Arabic is phenomenal. I showed you certain things about past tense, present tense, and all these different tenses and nouns. I'm telling you, that was just the tip of the iceberg about what the Quran is speaking about. We don't have enough, you know, people have to study a bit more Arabic to even appreciate that level. We're not even there yet to even understand the depth of the Quran. The Quraysh understand it though, okay? So the Quran tries to wake them up. It's very easy to get lost in the story, in the details. Am yaqulu naftara, Quraysh, you have to think about something. There is no way for him to know these things. You don't, it's going to come up later in Surah Hud, where Allah makes it explicitly clear that the Quraysh, Makkans, Medinans, no one had, or rather the Arabs, none of them had the story of Nuh alayhi salam. There is no way for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have known these things. The Quraysh are being told by Allah, there's no way for him to know. And this Arabic is beyond him, it's beyond them, for them to replicate. Do they still think, you know, have they realized by listening to the story that first and foremost, it's not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And secondly, have they realized that they're acting exactly like the people of Nuh? That the story, if I were to just replace the name of the people of Nuh with the people of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would have said it would have fit exactly. Or if I replaced it with the names of the people of Hud or Saleh, or the people of America, of the people of China, you know, like you can put literally everyone's name there. The same exact thing happens over and over and over again. Have they realized they're exactly like the people of Nuh? Or are they just going to keep saying, Am yaqulu naftara? He's making this up. Okay? The Quran, in such a beautiful way, it captures the fact that the Quraysh are not willing to listen to anything anymore. And then tries to wake them up in the middle. The Quran is a very active book. You'll see it. It'll be talking about a story and then it'll start talking about you. Or it'll be talking about the story and say that, have you seen your own animals? Or it'll be talking about the story and tell you about how, you know, Allah has created the bee. And things like that. You know, the Quran just, like, it shifts and it tries to keep you, like, just engaged. Look at what it's saying. Sometimes it just talks to you so directly, you can't even hold yourself back sometimes. When the story of Yaqub alayhislam comes out about him crying about Yusuf alayhislam, sometimes the tears in my eyes, I can't hold them back, you know? Because I'm just like, man, this man, like, it's as if he's talking about who, Allah, as if Allah's talking about me right now, you know? The pains that we go through in life. So just remember that it's saying, are they just making this up? Qul, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say to them, if there's nothing else that's clicking with them, nothing else that's connecting to them, in iftaraituhu, if I made it up, fa'alayya ijrami, upon me is my sin, this is my crime, okay? If I made it up, if I lied about Allah, if I fabricated this book, no problem. I'm responsible for my actions. Wana bari'um mimma tujrimun, but I am innocent of the crimes you commit. The things you guys are doing, you still got to handle that, okay? Sometimes a person will try to shift it onto you so badly and tell you that, oh my God, you're doing this and this, but they forget about their own sins. Okay, all right, I have sins. Admittedly so. Everyone makes mistakes. It doesn't change what you've done, okay? Just because you want me to make tawbah doesn't mean you don't have to make tawbah. So Nabi Muhammad SAW was told to tell them, look, if anything else, all right, I made it up. Okay, what about you? And so Quraysh are being told, that don't worry about Allahumma salli Muhammad, that don't worry about the fact, you know, about this or this, about who, you know, if the Quran is being made up or not. The next part is very, very important for you, because you know the next part is completely obvious. It is completely obvious. Okay. So what is the next part here? وَوْحِيَ لَا نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَا يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قُومِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ وَلَا تَبَتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. After that interjection that Allah Ta'ala did to address the Quraysh, we know the next part, which is what? It is the flood. So we reveal to Nuh alayhi salam. It's an extraordinary part. Okay, the next four ayats or so. It was revealed to Nuh alayhi salam. Okay, now remind yourself about who Nuh alayhi salam was. Because if you don't put yourself in his sandals, you don't understand what kind of person he was, then you're not going to appreciate what's going to be said. A person who's constantly giving da'wah non-stop. Okay, it's a very cold mountain. We're talking about da'wah to Allah Ta'ala. You barely get responses, you barely get replies, you get people don't even want to listen, you know? SubhanAllah, you know, we have about 7 participants here, you know, SubhanAllah. And I never look at numbers. If there was one person or if there was 50 people, I give the same exact bayan. Because why? Because the only being that matters is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the thing is that when you give da'wah, you can imagine how painful it is that you have such an important message and you wish that you could tell the whole world, but no one wants to listen. Now, if we're feeling this sitting in whatever Massachusetts or whatever, Nuh alayhi salam is a Nabi for the entire world, really, for his time. And he's trying to give da'wah about the most important message, how to give people ultimate permanent success. But no one is listening to him, okay? It's a very cold mountain. And it's not a mountain that just lasting for 1 or 2 years. 950 years of this man's life, alayhi salam, is given to this da'wah. And when I'm saying 950 years, we mean it 950 years. Because there is a lot here. There is a lot here. It is the night and day. It is the generations and societies and people and grandchildren and great grandchildren. He is meeting people every single, you know, in every single instant. People normally think that Nuh alayhi salam is only dealing with one community. He is not. He is dealing with their children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. So you could say they're all from the same nation, but he's dealing with generations of people. And he's giving da'wah to them night and day. And it's mentioned to such a degree that they would stone him and abuse him and curse him and mock him. And he'd be sometimes, some narrations mentioned, that he'd be covered in stones because of the fact that people pelted him so much with rocks. And what he would do is he would get out of the rock pile. He would go home and bandage all the wounds and all the blood, and he would wipe it off. And the next morning he'll go give da'wah again. Such steadfastness and such dedication. This is why he is made as an example for all prophets to come, all messengers to come. That you cannot say, I wasn't, you know, I can't do it. There was a man before you that went through so much more, that struggled even harder, and he fulfilled what Allah told him to fulfill. Okay? This is what we're talking about, Nuh alayhi salam. More and more people are coming, yet no one is accepting. Okay, you can imagine the sadness of a person that I want all these people to go to Jannah and they're not going, you know, as if I'm telling them to do something wrong, you know, as if I'm trying to poison them. This is what people feel like, you know, like when we tell people to stay away from riba, people are like, oh, this person doesn't want us to be rich. I said, la ilaha illallah, how could it be that I don't want you to be rich? I don't want you to do something that displeases Allah. Because if you were to displease Allah, it doesn't matter how much money you have in this world. None of it will have any blessing. The interest that you're taking will be completely devoured at the end. It will completely disappear. And you'll find yourself in a very bad position on the Day of Judgment. We tell people to eat halal and zabiha because why? Because we're legitimately concerned that if they were to eat such haram meat, the dua won't be accepted. You know, we act like we're here to make people's lives miserable. I'm sorry, just because our lives are so far away from deen, that's why it seems like our message is so harsh. But it's just because we're so concerned about people. The grief is intense. I didn't sign up to madrasa. I didn't, you know, study Islam so I can become a person who checks meat. You think I want to go into fridges and stuff? My God, like, come on. Slaughterhouses, things like that. We do this because why? Because the concern is real. The grief is intense. Nuh alayhi salam has that on such a high level. He's so sad. And finally, the revelation comes down to him that says what? That لَا يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ. That none of your people will come to believe anymore. No one's believing anymore, Nuh. Allah Ta'ala tells it clearly to him. Nuh, before you were in the dark about this issue, so you kept giving da'wah because that was your job. You didn't know about who's going to believe or not believe. You're not responsible for that. Allah makes it definitively clear to Nuh alayhi salam that no one is believing anymore, illa man qad aman, except those who have already believed. Nuh, your job is over. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Don't be distressed anymore. Don't be saddened anymore about what they've been doing. Okay? What have they been doing? Right? We got to understand this. What have they been doing? They've been doing terrible things. They've been disbelieving Allah. They've been giving partners to Allah. They've been doing sin after sin, guna after guna, mistake after mistake, right? They've been living very, very bad lives, okay? But the thing is, he's not upset that they're not following his message, you know? People could get upset that, oh man, no one's listening to me. And because why? Because I, as a personality, think my words are so important that people have to listen to me, you know? And that's what happens. Like, sometimes we do some work of deen. We're like good people, mashallah. We memorize Quran and stuff. We say, my work is the best and everyone else is kind of, you know, like, I know this guy's like giving charity money, but you know, I'm teaching people about Islam, you know, or some guy who'll be doing charity work with, and this is actually the opposite, you know, generally it's the opposite. A person will be doing charity work and saying, look at this person, he's sitting at home and just teaching people kitabs and books. What a person, he's wasting his time. He should help us out with this crisis here. And you know, the thing is that, look, it's not my dad is better than your dad or my work is better than your work. Every single work is legitimate work of Islam. Every work is a work of Islam. I make dua for you, and I hope you make dua for me. I just decided that this is where I want to take Islam, and I want to provide, and I want to do my service of Islam. You decide for yourself, what is the work that I'll do for Islam? Will it be for providing for the world, caring for people, teaching kids, you know, whatever it might be. You don't know, maybe taking care of orphans or widows, whatever, okay? But the thing is that Nuh alayhi salam is not upset about any of this, that they're not listening to me. He's upset about something else. We need to understand the word فَلَا تَبَتَئِسْ. The word is from buts, right? The word buts is a specific type of sadness. It is when a person is thinking about the future. Like, for example, a person might, you know, dread if they start to think about, if they're a kid who's in med school or something like that, and he starts to think about the exams. So he starts to dread about the future. And he starts to wonder about, if I don't come back and I don't pass the test, what's going to happen? You know, so all these things started coming in his mind. Or a guy who just finished school, or he's married and he has kids and he doesn't have a job. The future is so overwhelming on this person. That's buts. You're worried about the future. This is one way of looking at that word, that this anxiety or depression or distress. Another way of looking at it is when a person is in distress because of a lack of ability. They can't do something because they're just not able to. So, you know, it could be, for example, a person, they see their friends going out to, you know, some park or some amusement park or something. And, you know, they broke their leg, right? So they have to be in at home. And then they hear their friends are going out and they become so distressed because of it. I'm giving like a very simple example. A bigger example would be, for example, the idea that a person wants to go for Hajj, you know, and they really want to go. But then last minute, what happens is what? Their finances drop. Or the fact that the package isn't acceptable for them. And so the entire community is going and they're left behind. So you feel like, man, if only I had that ability. Okay, that feeling you get when you don't have the ability to do something. Nuh alayhi salam is feeling both of these things. He's not upset because they're not listening to him. He's more upset because of the fact that he knows if they continue down this path, they're going to the fire Jahannam. Nuh alayhi salam is so scared because the future for these people is very bleak and it's very dark. They don't see it, so it's making him miserable. He can't sleep at night because he knows for a fact if they die without Islam, and we know for a fact if people die without Islam, they will be going to the fire, and may Allah protect us from that. But this is a scare and a fear that Nuh alayhi salam has. That was one thing, and we need to be like that. When we think about people, think about their akhirah, think about the hereafter. It's okay for parents to be concerned about their worldly education and the fact that they go to universities. That's completely fine. But concern yourself with the fact that, is my kid praying or not? Is she actively wearing hijab or not? Does my kid want to go to the masjid or not? These are big indications that my kid will be on Islam or not. These are big questions we need to see. And so we need to be concerned about these things, because Nuh alayhi salam was so concerned about it. Now the next thing is what? The fact that he blames himself. Because look, you could tell yourself, you know, if you're doing work for khidmat of deen, you could legitimately tell yourself, man, I tried so, so hard. I legitimately tried so hard. But I don't know, maybe I could have tried harder. You know, it could come in your heart like this. Allah is telling Nuh alayhi salam, don't blame yourself anymore. Don't think about what they're doing anymore. Don't worry about the future anymore. You don't have any blame on you. You don't have any distress on you. No more anxiety. You know, dry up the tears, Nuh. Relax. It's fine. Wasna'i al-fulk. Right? Beautiful. Says, now make the ark. Allah tells Nuh alayhi salam, don't worry about anyone. Don't blame yourself anymore. Your job now is to make the ark. Go and build the ark. Okay? And so the questions will come, you know, because this is al-fulk, right? Make the ark, right? Make the ship. You know, you use that, for example, it's like, you know, if I told you I went to the park, or I saw that sheikh, the sheikh, you know, that is a top-notch sheikh. We're putting the word the before it. So Allah says, make the ark, make the ship. That ship that like no one has ever seen before. An extraordinary, remarkable, you know, just a vehicle on the ocean that no one will ever be able to replicate again. Okay? The questions will come. Will I be able to complete it? Will I be able to make it? So Allah Ta'ala responds, says, وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكِ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. You're going to do it under our eyes. If something is done under my supervision, right? For example, if I'm an imam or a mullah or whatever, and I'm watching people do work, I'm making sure that the work is thorough. I'm watching everything. Allah Ta'ala said to Nuh alayhi salam, that don't worry, Nuh, you're doing it under my supervision. I'll watch everything. And so there won't be a single part of the ark that you're going to construct, except I'm watching it and supervising it to make sure that number one, that you will complete it. And number two, they'll be done in the finest way, most spectacular way. The second thing is what? Oh Allah, how will I know what to do? I'm not a carpenter. I never built anything like this. How could anyone build something like this, right? There's a big question. How will I know what to do? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَحِينَا, and according to our revelation. Nuh, you don't need any blueprint. I'll give you the blueprint into your mind. I'll inspire it into your heart. If Allah tells you it from him, you don't need anyone to teach you anything. Forget about going to any university, studying where any carpentry school or any type of school or whatever. Allah will teach you directly. So Allah says to Nuh, we will take care of it. Don't worry about these things. وَلَا تُخَاطِبَنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Nuh, do not discuss with me at all about any of those who've done evil. Don't talk to me about them anymore. إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ. They're all destined to be drowned. Allah Ta'ala says, don't talk to me about these people anymore. They're all, this is it. This is the finished moment. Now they're all going straight into the water. وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكِ. Okay. And so the ayah continues, ayah number 38. Nuh alayhi salam, he started, and it says in the ayah, وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكِ. He started making the ark. Okay. Who is this person again? Nuh alayhi salam. A man who spent 950 years of dawah, right? He's not speaking to anyone anymore. There's no more conversations. There's no discussion with these people. Allah Ta'ala said, there's no more commenting, no more speaking about them. Don't worry about them anymore. There's no more dawah, no more house visits. You know, there's no more public visits. There's no more private visits. There's no more night and day, nothing anymore. Nuh alayhi salam is just exclusively doing what? He's just working on the ark. And if you remember present tense verbs, it means time and again, right? You do something in time. So again and again and again, he's going. Every single moment he gets, every single time he gets, he goes and works on the ark. Finished eating food, working on the ark. Taking care of family, working on the ark. Every single time, just going back and working on the ship, developing it and building it, making it the way that Allah told him to make it, you know? So what happens is, You know, and the thing is that you have to tell yourself that it's on the land. You know, they have these expressions. These are proverbs, right? Like the fact that, you know, a ship on land, you're building a ship on land. The idea of building a ship on land is that it's not going anywhere, right? So this is one of the most outrageous things a person will do. But the thing is, and this is the thing, who's the one who told him to put it on the land? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even for sake of argument, if you want to say, no, he did it on the coast, because it makes sense to put it on the coast. Okay, fine. For sake of argument, he put it on the coast. Still, that massive type of ship, I'm going to give you the dimensions in a second. The size of that ship, for you to put it onto the coast, there's no way it's getting into the water. No way it's getting into the water. Okay? So this is the thing about obeying Allah. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense to anyone in the world. What you're doing doesn't make any sense to anyone in the world. But you and I know for a fact that if Allah Ta'ala told us there's some deep level of good in there. Nuh alayhi salam is not complaining. Allah, you said to build it here the way you wanted it, I'm making it. I'm going to make it. Allah, you said to build a masjid, I'm making it. You know, people look at it as a cost, as a burden on the community or society. A masjid or madrasa is a burden on society. No problem, I'm making it. Because Allah, if it means obeying you, it's worth the world. It's worth everything. So he does that. And what are the dimensions here? Okay, this is the conservative estimate. This is actually from the Bible. It's from Genesis, I think Genesis 6 or 7. It says that the ark was 300 yards long, 50 yards wide, and 30 yards high. Okay, 300 yards long is three times the size of a football field. Okay, and I'm telling you, this is conservative. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah said that the length of the ark was 1,000 yards or 1,000 cubits, right? Arm's length, right? And he said that the width will be about 600 or so. Allah Ta'ala knows best. I'm not telling you these numbers to memorize them. I'm trying to tell you that this work he's doing is massive and very impressive. No one else could replicate it. I'm telling you it's a ship that Allah Ta'ala says, you will know that this is the ark. When you say he's building the ark, everyone's going to remember for the rest of history about what type of ship this was. And we all talk about it in that way. And so now what happens is, كُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَرَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْ. So every time though, Nuh alayhi salam is building this ark, the leaders of his people pass by him. سَخِرُوا مِنْ. And they start mocking him. Okay, this is from the Quran. They said that every single time they pass by, they start making fun of him. So Nuh alayhi salam, what did they say to him? First he was a regular guy. He was our brother, a community member. Next thing you know, he became a prophet. And now look at him, he's a carpenter. The word sukh, right, to mock in Arabic, it means when you're trying to make someone, you're trying to make fun of someone so much that they stop doing what they're doing. They submit to you. So they were trying to make fun of him so badly that he would just stop doing this type of nonsense. So they kept trying and trying and trying. But the thing is, you don't stop. No matter who makes fun of you, no matter who laughs at you, who mocks you for following the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who makes a joke that you're using a miswak, or using this, or using the bathroom like this, or praying salah like this, or fasting, or whatever. No matter what people say, you never stop. The same way Nuh alayhi salam didn't stop, you just laugh back, okay? The best thing that you can do is that you, if they're making you a joke, we'll make a joke too. قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. It sounds much better than it does in English. It says that if you mock at us, we'll mock at you like you mock at us. If you're making a joke about us, no problem. We'll mock you the same way you're mocking about us. It's either about the hereafter, right? Which is probably the most important way, right? But it can also be about the dunya. So it's mentioned in one of the narrations. They said, oh, Nuh, ya Nuh, ma tasna'u, what are you doing? And Nuh alayhi salam said, abani baytan ala al-ma. He said, I'm making a house on the water. Life is comedy, you know? Like if you can't find any way to respond to people anymore, if they're making jokes, you just make jokes back. You know, this is the thing. I enjoy a good laugh. Really, I do. And I like that people are laughing and happy. You know, may Allah keep you all happy. The thing is that, you know, it's just life is comedy. You see funny things and it keeps life going. This world is crazy. It's full of insane people. This is an insane asylum. We just see pagaliyat. We see, you know, like jahiliyat everywhere. We see stupid things everywhere and we just laugh about it. It's just so funny, you know. How could people be smoking? How could people be drinking? They don't even realize how dumb they look, you know. We're laughing our heads off. So it could be, again, in the hereafter. The Nuh alayhi salam saying, if you're laughing, we'll laugh too. Or the fact that in this world, he goes and says about the hereafter, you will find out who will receive a humiliating punishment and on whom a lasting doom will descend. He says that it will be such an embarrassing thing that will happen to you in the hereafter. And it will be such a terrible thing that will happen in this world. Because the humiliating punishment is what's going to happen here. And the lasting doom is gonna what's gonna happen over there. It's gonna be super embarrassing what happens. Hatta idha ja'a amruna wa fara at-tanur qul nahmil fiha min kulli zawjayn ithnayn wa ahlak illa man sabaqa alayhi al-qawl wa man aman wa ma amana ma'ahu illa qalil. Okay, this ayah says that until hatta idha ja'a amruna, this kept happening. Nuh alayhi salam kept building the ship and the people kept coming to make fun of him. So he had to endure a lot of things for 950 years. And now he has to endure their laughing and joking. And he just makes jokes about them too. And it keeps him going. It's a drive, right? It keeps you moving, keeps you motivated. What happens is finally when a command came and then the oven overflowed, okay? The fara tanur, the oven overflowed. The word tanur, it is tandur, okay? It is one of the words in the Quran, which they say comes from another language. There are many words like this throughout the Quran that you'll find that they're from from Greek, or they're from Abyssinian, right? They're Hebrew words. There are this type of words. There are so many, to the point that scholars have said that every single language has in a sense or a word in it from, you know, within the Quran. And so the place for Urdu speakers is tandoor, okay? The tandoor, it is a word derived from Urdu, right? It is that thing. And if you've seen a tandoor, it is that oven in which they make it in the ground, right? It's built in the ground. Obviously, nowadays we have more modern ones where you put them up and you put them like ovens and stuff, like, you know, in a kitchen, whatever. But the way that's done, and still nowadays it's still done like this, you know, in Bangladesh or whatever, you find that the tandoor is on the ground. Okay? So it says, وَفَارَ التَّنُّورِ, the tandoor will overflow with water, because what's gonna happen is the way Nuh alayhi salam's people know that now is the time to get out of your house is that when they see water coming out of the oven, what's normally supposed to come out of the oven? Fire. But now you're seeing water coming out. They all need to get the heck out of there. They need to get out of their houses. So at that moment, they know. If they see water coming out of their ovens, then they know that the whole world is about to be flooded. Everything's about to be going underwater. The whole world is going to be flooded now. Okay? There are discussions about historical things. I'll speak about it next time, inshallah. Just so I can make it clear. But just let's finish up this ayah here. قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّنْ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ. We said for him to carry each kind, a male and female couple. So I guess our brothers who are with male or female will have some problems with this ayah. You know, what can you do? They can't reproduce, right? Allah give us understanding. In any case, وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلِي الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ آمَنْ وَمَا آمَنَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Okay. So you must. So you look at the things Allah mentions here about what Nuh alayhi salam has to bring onto the ark. It says carrying it of each kind, a male and female couple, meaning all animals, right? And your family. And those who have believed, right? There are three groups here: animals, family, and believed, right? You and I, as human beings, we would have always remembered to take our families. No one had to tell me twice to take my family. Okay, I would have taken the believers too. What did Allah mention first here? He said to make sure to take the animals. Okay, you must care for animals. I think in terms of our societies, animals are the most abused. We never forget about our families, but Allah Ta'ala mentions the animals first because we always neglect them. When people are building things, they're taking care of things in the world, they're trying to make construction or whatever, they always forget about the animals. They destroy habitats and civilizations of animals. They'll kill so many things. They'll kill ants, they'll kill whatever, just to make sure that human beings can thrive. Allah Ta'ala made it a requirement of Nuh alayhi salam, being a person who cares for the world, to care for the animals, to not forget them. This is a reminder for all of our brothers, especially our Desi people, I myself included, that we find ourselves, we don't care about animals at all. We abuse them, we hurt them, we mock them, make fun of them. They are part of the world like anything else. They deserve to be cared for. Okay? وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. And the last part, inshallah, is that none of them believed. Allah Ta'ala says in the ayah, that take onto the boat, the ark, those who believed. And Allah Ta'ala says about Nuh alayhi salam, that no one really believed in him except for a few people. Okay? This is a reminder to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, O Prophet of Islam, you don't have it as worse as Nuh, because he endured so much and he came out with less numbers. Nuh, Nabi Muhammad comes out with so many numbers. This entire ummah, 1.8 billion strong, is from the Prophet Muhammad. Keep that in mind. The Prophet is saying, you don't have to go through what Nuh went through with such little followers. But look, Nuh was successful because his effort was there. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that we also put in effort like that. We try our best to strive. We do what we need to do. Allah Ta'ala will take care of the results. You take care of the effort, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. We'll continue, inshallah. There's still more to go over, but we'll do it next time, inshallah. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.